Thank you very much to Will and Grace for reading so clearly. Before we look again at God's word, I'm going to pray for us all. O God, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, and give us grace to receive it, to understand it, and to obey it. For the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. It'd be a great help to me if you can turn again to the scripture passage that's just been read to us, page 1026 in the Pew Bibles. So I want to look again at this great story that we've just heard, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 and on. I wonder if you've ever had occasion to rejoice in someone's good fortune. Perhaps it's been deserved. Perhaps someone's done very well at exams or very accomplished in the sports field. From time to time, we have occasion to rejoice when something or someone's done something that's undeserved or unearned. Perhaps a lucky lottery win. I've never bought a ticket. Although I was reading something, someone had a lucky find. A novice detectorist, Charles Wainwright, in May of this year, first time out as a detectorist with his metal detector in a field in Worcestershire, came across a hoard of Roman and Viking treasures. And I'm sure he was delighted, and I'm sure people were delighted as well. Now, today we remember someone who had extraordinary good fortune, Mary, most highly favoured lady, and chosen by God to be the one who would bear his son. Mary, this highly favoured lady. Now, what do we know about Mary? You'll see here this lovely image. I'm sure Het and Pippa can tell you where they last saw it. It's from one of our favourite towns in Tuscany. It's from the Diocesan Museum of Cortona. And this amazing image of the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, painted by Fra Angelico. Now, I want to take the story away from Christmas cards, and that these are beautiful images, but there's a danger we leave things back in the first century or back in Renaissance times when this painting was painted, but think, well, how does this apply for us today? So Mary was, I think it's important to know, an ordinary girl from an ordinary town. And we don't want us to leave Mary back in the past. She's an ordinary girl from an ordinary town. And a modern painter, a chap called John Collin, American artist, has painted this image in the year 2000. And this painting is in the Church of St. Gabriel in McKinney. And it just shows an ordinary girl. And we read in our Bible passage, she was of a humble estate and lowly. And we see this girl probably just come back from school. Her school shoes are unlaced and doing her homework, probably just embarked on her GCSE course. And an ordinary girl from an ordinary situation. She'd have been a young girl, probably aged about 14 or 15. She was betrothed, we're told. Luke tells us she was betrothed. She was promised in marriage, and we know to whom, promised in marriage to Joseph, but she wasn't yet married. But this ordinary girl from this ordinary town, in this ordinary situation, had received an extraordinary message. And Fra Angelico and Collier both are trying to show the angel, the messenger of God, with this extraordinary message. And you can see this young girl here. Someone's come to the door, not the postman with a special delivery, but an angel, God's messenger, saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Well, the painter shows Mary reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, some 800 years before her. And this prophecy that came fulfilled in the baby that she was going to carry. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So those, you know, who are young girls here, imagine, how would you respond if an angel, a messenger for God, was to arrive on your doorstep and tell you that you are going to be pregnant with God's own child? Extraordinary message. And Mary was an ordinary girl, ordinary town, ordinary situation, but this extraordinary message. And what's important to learn about Mary? That she was obedient. How did she respond to this? Now, her reaction was not unsurprising. Mary, we read, was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Well, we know that Mary was obedient. Yes, she was anxious, and this painter, Dante Gebra Rossetti, you can see this painting, Tate Britain, shows Mary anxious, yes, wary, curious perhaps, and these are natural reactions, but we know that Mary was obedient. Mary was an obedient girl. And we know what Mary's reply was. She was obedient. Then Mary said, "Here I am, here am I, the servant of the Lord." She was willing to be obedient to God. She didn't know fully, but she was obedient. She was trusting. "Let it be with me according to your word." So Mary was obedient. She received this message. She was trusting. She didn't know fully, but she said, "Let it be with me according to your word." She recognized this message was from God. And though she's an ordinary girl, it's an extraordinary message. And she's obedient to that message from God. "Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. But she was blessed as well. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God." So obedient, trusting, and blessed. Blessed by God. She would be the one. This remarkable good fortune of all the women in all time to be the one who would bear God's child. So we know that the angel departed from her. But Mary was also told by Gabriel that her elderly relative, Elizabeth, a lady beyond childbearing years, as far as we understand, was already 6 months pregnant. So what did Mary do next? Luke tells us that Mary headed off to see Elizabeth, and we heard this as was read earlier. Mary goes off to another town, to Judah, and to see her elderly relative, Elizabeth. And you can imagine Mary, you know, full of anxiety and questions, but she'd already known that her elderly relative was pregnant as well. And off she goes to see this elderly relative. And here in this picture in the National Gallery, Goose van der Weyen, we see Mary telling Elizabeth about her extraordinary news. Now, if you look very carefully in the beyond Elizabeth, Elizabeth's in pink, you can see this old man, and that's actually Zechariah, her husband, who was struck dumb by the angel, by God, because he didn't believe the angel's message that when the angel told him, Zechariah, that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a baby. So he was struck dumb. Now, eventually we read on that he got back his speech and he named his child John. So there's Mary visiting Elizabeth. And what's really interesting, we see this older woman deferring to this young girl. Now, there's two extraordinary babies. There's Elizabeth, an elderly lady, now 6 months pregnant with John, and Mary, a virgin, now pregnant with Jesus. And we can notice the conversation is not so much about Elizabeth and her baby, remarkable though it was, but about Mary and her baby. And again, a 20th century artist has tried to give that suggestion of the older woman being solicitous and caring about the younger baby. Now, I don't know where this painting is now. It was sold in auction in London in 2006. But it shows Elizabeth and as an older lady, pregnant, and Mary, this young girl. So the conversation is about not about Elizabeth and her baby, but about Mary and the baby she was carrying. And we see then, we hear then, from Luke, Mary's reply, this amazing heartfelt and prophetic outpouring, and it's come to known to us as Mary's song, the Magnificat. And it's one of the best known parts of Scripture, and one of the most loved parts of Scripture by Christians throughout the centuries and all over the world. And again, we can put it back in the past. There's some amazing musical settings of that. But we don't want to just consign Mary's song to things of you know, song, and that this is a remove from us. But Mary is speaking to us. This song tells Elizabeth, this song tells Luke's first readers, and tells us across the centuries, and tells us today, of the extraordinary coming out of the ordinary. And we look again at Mary's song. This is why I've asked you to turn to the scripture passage, because that's quite a small print there. But that's the Magnificat, Mary's song, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55. You'll find that on page 1026. And I know it's familiar to many of us, but it's useful to look on it and reflect on it, and reflect what this young girl was saying. There are three parts, really. The first part is personal. My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul magnifies. That's why it's called the Magnificat. Makes something bigger, like a magnifying glass. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. So it's a personal thing. She recognises that what God has done for her. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. She recognises this extraordinary good fortune, this extraordinary privilege she has to bear God's baby. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. So the Magnificat, Mary's song, is firstly personal. But it moves on to the universal, moving on from the personal to other people and other places. It moves on from how God engages with this humble girl and how God engages with the humble to how God deals with the proud. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. What we see here, this great reversal in fortunes, he has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. So the proud, the rulers are brought down, the humble lifted up, the hungry are now filled, and the rich go away empty. And in this song, we see that though one might be prosperous and powerful in the world's eyes, God sees things differently. And the difference to Mary and the difference to us and is how we respond to God. Are we going to be those who are humble, who are lifted high? Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Now this is a Bible word. It means those who believe and trust in him. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Those who believe and trust in Jesus. And we see this great reversal in fortunes, this great reversal in destiny too. Mary's song is a personal song. It speaks of the wider world, the universal, but also it's eternal. Mary's song speaks across time. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Because Mary's song actually looks back in time and looks forward in time. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So through this extraordinary baby that Mary was carrying, there was a reversal of human fortunes. For those who fear him are also a reversal of destiny. Through Mary's baby, Jesus, all the effects and all the consequences of the sin of the world are reversed, the fall. If you look in the top left of the corner, you see three figures beyond and up above Gabriel's wings. And that's actually the angel casting out Adam and Eve from the garden. Man's rebellion against God is the fall. Not just Adam and Eve, but you and I saying, I don't need God in my life. I want to do things my way. And that rebellion against God, the fall, resulted in man and woman being driven out from the Garden of Eden, as we can see in the picture, rupturing our relationship with God. And this is right at the beginning of the human story, our rebellion against God and rupturing the relationship of God and man. But right at the beginning of the human story is an anticipation of rescue and remedy. Back in Genesis, God speaking to the devil, to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, the baby that Mary was carrying would be the one who would crush the serpent, defeat the devil, and reverse what the devil did, causing that rupture in the relationship between God and man. Mary's child would be the one who would restore the relationship between God and man. As we'll sing over the coming weeks, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." The baby that Mary was carrying would bring God and man together. So, what are we to make of all this? We can sign Mary's story back to the first century or back to Renaissance times and leave Mary and Gabriel on a Christmas card. But I would say God wants to do great things to ordinary people today. God did great things through ordinary Mary. But he did extraordinary things through Mary, an ordinary girl, extraordinary things. And he still wants to do extraordinary things now through ordinary people. How will this come about? How will this come about in our time? Well, the clue is in how Mary herself responded to God. Now, in the picture, there's the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary. You probably can't see the words, but you see this, these gold lines are actually Gabriel speaking to Mary. We know what he said. And it reads left to right, and it's quite clear if you read Latin. But Mary's actually speaking to Gabriel as well. And the painter, quite deliberately, has painted her words upside down and backwards. And the idea in this imagery is that only God can understand Mary. Mary's conversation is with God. It was her heartfelt response to God, to God's messenger. And the question is to us, what is our heartfelt response to God? Mary spoke to God, replied to God through his messenger. And what does Mary say? She said, "Look, here am I. I'm an ordinary girl." Mary was an ordinary girl. And the same way God accepts us in all our ordinariness. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." Mary was an obedient girl. Do we respond with the same obedience and the same trust? Mary said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Well, through Mary, God brought the extraordinary out of the ordinary. God has great plans in store for those today who believe and trust in him. Will we today say with God, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Amen.